Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's gospel story takes place the evening of Easter Sunday. It has been a big day, but we don't see any signs of excitement, even though the resurrection was revealed that morning. Instead, we hear that the doors are locked for fear of the religious leaders. And so I see this as a scene of emotional exhaustion. There have just been too many ups and downs for the disciples. First, there was the terror of Jesus' arrest and trial. And then there's been grief, of course, at his crucifixion and death and burial. Then, when they saw the empty tomb, they were bewildered. And then finally, they had incredulous joy when Mary said, "I have seen the Lord." The disciples' emotions are just all over the map. And you may know what this is like. Perhaps you've been to the wedding of a close loved one and you've been through the stress of preparation. You've had the joy of being with family and you've celebrated at seeing this couple making a commitment of love. And then you just weep all the next day with a sense of loss. You've gone on an emotional roller coaster, and when it's all over, you could sleep for a week. So it's Easter Sunday, and the disciples are locked in the room, and they don't know what to think, they don't know what to feel. Sounds like they're just sitting around stunned. And in the midst of their exhaustion and turmoil and mixed emotions, Jesus shows up and he says, "Peace be with you." Oh, peace is exactly what they need. Peace from this conflict of emotions. Peace from the threats of violence from the civic rulers. Peace from the riot of speculation about what on earth is actually going on. Peace, time to relax and do nothing. Jesus offers them his peace. And then after showing them his wounds, proving his identity, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." What is this? Is this a new commission? Maybe they had thought this is the end of the story, because after all, what role is there for disciples, for followers, when the one they follow is dead? But Jesus tells them this is just the beginning for them. And essentially he says, "The purpose of my life has been to show you what it has meant for the Father to send me to the world. Now you've learned that from me, and I'm sending you to the world in the same way." In other words, their discipleship is just beginning. And I can just imagine them saying to one another or saying in their heads, "Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was bringing me peace. Doesn't peace mean no more work to do? The chance to kick back and relax, to retire? I've earned some rest. I put in my 35 years at the plant. I put in my time as Jesus' followers." Can't you just hear the disciples saying that? But Jesus' peace is not the world's peace. And when Jesus speaks words of peace to you, you'd better look out, because something is going to happen. Earlier in the worship, we passed the peace with each other. And my hope is that this will come to mean more to you than just shaking hands, that this will come to mean more than just wishing each other good morning and welcoming visitors, although it certainly is that kind of community building. But the biblical origins of this act are more complicated, because first of all, passing the peace is a chance to exchange words of reconciliation where they are needed. Where two people are estranged, this is the time to come together and say, "Peace." Jesus says it in the Sermon on the Mount, first be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. First, peace between us. And then, only then, when the community is reconciled and united, then we have another role for passing the peace. After Jesus' resurrection and his appearance to the disciples, passing the peace becomes a call to action. Peace be with you because I am sending you. And we who have seen the risen Lord are sent to the world just as Jesus was sent. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. That makes us apostles, the ones who are sent. Now, individual followers of Jesus can be apostles, and so can congregations. George Hunter is a specialist in evangelism, and he talks about apostolic congregations. Apostolic congregations are aware that they are sent by Jesus to the world, and they try to remove any kind of barriers that keep people from knowing Christ. They seek to engage visitors and members at an ever deeper level. They take the gospel seriously and move towards total commitment. Apostolic congregations. It has been said that the true church is the only society on earth that exists for its non-members. I wonder if you agree with that. The church is the only society on earth that exists for its non-members. It is the place where followers of Jesus are transformed into an engine of salvation for the world. Because so after the resurrection, we can't sit behind closed doors. We can't be worried that the world is going to do its worst to us, nor can we just kind of float along in a sort of relaxed, quasi-peaceful state, sure that Jesus is going to take care of everything and that all we have to do is kick back. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," he is saying, "Start your engines. Ready, set, go. Go into the world. Go into the world that I died to save." Then after revving them up, Jesus breathes on his disciples and they receive the Holy Spirit. That's the story of the Pentecost here in the Gospel according to John. There's no waiting around 50 days in this gospel. The disciples receive the energizing peace of the Holy Spirit right away on the evening of that first day of resurrection. And they go into the world, bearing the good news with them in word and deed, despite the consequences which we see in the book of Acts. This is why I think the absence of the one disciple, Thomas, is so sad. And it's not because he doubts. That doesn't really bother me. It's because he doesn't get the commission to go into the world. He doesn't get the empowerment of the Spirit that he needs. Instead, Thomas has got to wait another week after the rest of the disciples. He's got to wait another week before he comes face to face with Jesus' wounds. And it is those signs of suffering that give Thomas the strength of faith. It's no longer about Thomas and his doubts. It is about Jesus. And Thomas proclaims, "My Lord and my God." Here, almost 2,000 years later, it's time to realize it is not about us. It is not about the church and its survival. It's not about you and me and our abilities or lack thereof. It is about Jesus, the sent and risen Lord, and all that we do is because of him. If we truly believe in him, we can go into the world because he sends us. God knows some of us are exhausted physically, emotionally, spiritually, and we have earned some rest. But Jesus offers us something that strengthens us. Jesus breathes on us and gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus shows us his wounds. He lets us go. He sends his peace with us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.